are in Psalm 27. As we come to Psalm 27, one of the things that's present in this psalm that that we need to think about and deal with is fear. So just think about that for a moment. What are you most afraid of? What are you most afraid of? And I'm not particularly talking about snakes and spiders, right? But you'd expect those kinds of thoughts to come to mind. I saw something yesterday with a few children who were asked about what their greatest fears were. The first little boy said his greatest fear was werewolves. And the second little boy said his greatest fear was snakes. The third little boy, his name was Dylan. He said his greatest fear was that the deep depravity of his own heart would be met with judgment before God. The last little girl was asked what her greatest fear was, and she said, Dylan. You know, we often have trouble categorizing these kinds of things, right? What are our greatest fears? And as we come through Psalm 27, we're gonna consider that a bit, but even more importantly, we're going to consider how do we confront fear and how do we approach it? How do we approach God with our fears? Psalm 27 was written by King David, and though it's not clear exactly when it was written, it's obviously during a dark and difficult time in his life. But he was praising God. He was praising God. He was confident in the crisis. He was hopeful in hardship. He was faithful in the face of fear. We just finished a series on the five solas, and today we're celebrating the Reformation, right? We're celebrating the Protestant Reformation. The first hymn we sang together was written by Martin Luther, "A Mighty Fortress is Our God." And we look back to this moment in history, and as we're thinking about that time in history, we think, man, what great faith it must have taken for him to take that stand, and others who risked their lives for the sake of the gospel. Well, Martin Luther certainly wrote that hymn amidst great fear. But what was his confidence? His confidence was in the Lord, who was his mighty fortress. It's the same thing we find here in Psalm 27. David had confidence in the face of fear because of his God, because he knew his God. We were talking about this morning in the Bible study. It's a strange thing to find rejoicing in suffering, right? It's a strange thing to see confidence like this, like Martin Luther had, in the face of fear. It is a strange thing. But this is the hope and the confidence that we have as Christians. Amen? Martin Luther was able to speak the way that he did because he had a hope that went beyond the grave. He had a hope that sustained him, even in the face of death. It was the hope, the living hope, that comes through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Our problem when we're faced with fear is that too often we put our confidence in the wrong things. Too often we look for light in darkened places. We look for salvation from feeble saviors, inadequate saviors. We look for a stronghold in a kingdom of sand. But what we're going to learn here today is that knowing God brings confidence in the face of fear. This is at the heart of this psalm. This is what it's all about. It's about knowing God, and knowing this God brings confidence in the face of fear. Coming to that conclusion, we're going to look at three aspects of who God is, three aspects that David introduces to us in the beginning of the psalm. He says, "The Lord is my light. The Lord is my salvation. The Lord is the stronghold of my life." And as we're considering those three aspects of who God is, we're going to see what that means for us in the context, as David presents it, of fear, being faced with fear. And so the first aspect that we come to, as David tells us there in verse 1, is that the Lord is my light. And David is telling us here that because the Lord is my light, my fears are brought into perspective. Because the Lord is my light, my fears are brought into perspective. You know, if we look at this psalm in our Bibles, we'll see the first verse, it says, "The Lord." Look at the very end of the psalm, it says, "The Lord." David begins and ends this psalm with the name of God. begins and ends this psalm with the name of God. Why? Because he understands that life begins and ends with God. His hope begins and ends with God. He can face fear with confidence because he knows this God. And his fear is instrumental in exposing that faith. Right? We think about that. We think that fear has a way of revealing our hearts, doesn't it? Fear has a way of revealing our hearts. Think back a moment ago to that question we asked. What is our greatest fear? What's the thing we fear most? For some, it might be that one of our children would not know the Lord. That's a significant fear. For others, it might be that someone that they know and love who is sick might not make it through. And for others, still, there's anxieties that just plague. Anxieties that just plague you day in and day out. You can't put your finger on it, but you're afraid. And you don't know what to do. Well, friends, the Lord is our light. If you know this God, bring your fears into the light of his presence. Knowing the Lord who is your light will bring your fears into perspective. David knew the Lord. He trusted the Lord. And when fear came, it exposed that faith. It exposed the very thing he was trusting in. The Lord is light. But what does it mean when we say the Lord is my light? What did David mean by that? Well, this idea of light in the scriptures carries a few things with it. First of all, it carries the idea of deliverance and blessings. We see that idea in Matthew 4:16, where speaking of Jesus and the coming Messiah, it says, the people dwelling in darkness saw a great light. This is deliverance. Blessings of God that come with this deliverance. And that darkness is synonymous with hopelessness, despair, separation from God. You ever felt that before? You think about that, you say, my life, you feel like there's a cloud over you, you feel there's some darkness. Usually if we're thinking through that, we would probably explain that as I feel distant from God. It feels as though God is distant from me. And I'm desiring, I want God to take me out of this. Light represents God's deliverance, but it also represents God's presence. It represents God's presence. Light is the source of hope and ground of faith when we look to God who is our light. It's deliverance from despair. It's the presence of God. So we look to John 1. John 1, 1 through 5, we read this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Jesus Christ is God with us. It is the presence of God that is our light. And Jesus Christ brings with him all the goodness of God, for all the goodness is found in him. So to say that God is my light is to say that God is my deliverance. He's to say that God is my blessing. God is my joy. Light also represents revelation of truth from God. John 1:18 said, no one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made him known. Jesus Christ is the light because he reveals the Father. We read all throughout the Psalms that the Word is the light. Why? Because it shows us God's will. It reveals to us who God is and how God would have us live. And so when we expose our fears to this light, we get a proper perspective. What David saw in part, we have in full. Because we have Christ who is the light. 2 Corinthians 4:6, God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. John 8:12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And so as we come to God and we see that the Lord is our light, our fears are brought into perspective. We have the hope of joy and blessings in the face of Jesus Christ. It gives us great confidence in the face of fear, doesn't that? And if that doesn't give us great confidence in the face of fear, I don't know what could. But knowing God as my light means that God has shown himself to me, he has revealed himself to me, and is ever present with me. And this knowledge of God brings my fears into perspective. Look at how David explains that further, verses 2 and 3. And there's an escalation here that we should notice. He says, when evildoers assail me, this is just a general statement, evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, now it's getting personal. There's a statement of confidence. It's they who stumble and fall. Verse 3, though an army encamp against me. Now we're talking about skilled opposition. Though war arise against me. The greatest threat, the largest picture. It's an escalation here to say that there's nothing. There's nothing that will shake my confidence in the Lord. Because the Lord is my light. Because the Lord is with me. That's why David could say in Psalm 23, I will fear no evil. Why? Because the Lord is with me. The Lord is my light. He is ever present. He is the source of my joy. And this is why David then in verse 4 turns to express his desire. His fears have been brought into perspective as he considered the God who is his light. And the God who is his light, which is his source of joy. Now he reflects on that with one desire. His life becomes very clear to him, and his desire for life has become very clear. And his desire is what? To be with the Lord. He says, one thing I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. He's not talking about having a cot set up in the temple, right? He's not talking about living in a physical building. He's talking about being in the presence of God. That's what the temple represents here. That's what the house of the Lord represents. This is David's sole desire, to be with the Lord, to gaze on his beauty, inquire in his temple. I think that sounds kind of, to inquire in his temple, what, that sounds a little strange, doesn't it? Have you ever had this moment where God reveals himself to you through his word? God shows you who he is, and you just can't get enough? You just say, Lord, I want more. You know enough to want to know more. This is the heart that David is reflecting here. He knows enough of God. God has exposed this through his light that he wants to know more. This is the gift that keeps on giving, the gift of knowing the Lord. He expresses further, not only does he want to gaze on the Lord, not only does he want to know more of the Lord and to know him more and more, but he goes to the Lord for help. He says, verse 5, for he will hide me in his shelter. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. So God is the source of his joy, but God is also his shelter. He seeks the joy and goodness of being face to face with God, and he seeks the safety from his fears that comes in God alone. Knowing this God brings confidence in the face of fear. And so we end this first section as he's reflecting on God who is his light. And there's a statement of confidence. It says, now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. This is the result of that reflection. A confident hope that he will worship God in his tent. That God will bring him into his presence, that he will dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of his life. This is the confident expectation that comes with knowing the Lord who is our light. And we know this God. We know God in this way. We can laugh in the face of fear. We can laugh in the face of fear, sing shouts of joy in our darkest times. Whatever difficulty we face, knowing God brings our fears into perspective. and his presence changes everything. Because the Lord is my light, my fears are brought into perspective. I'd want nothing else than to be with him. But what do we do when fears are present? This is the statement in the beginning, right? This is the statement. God is my light, so my fears are brought into perspective. This is the statement. Where do we go when fears happen, when the danger is present? This is when our faith meets the ground, right? We talked about this earlier, our faith being tested. David's faith is tested by real present enemies. And he says, because the Lord is my salvation, I look to him when I am afraid. Because the Lord is my light, my fears are brought into perspective. Because the Lord is my salvation, I look to him when I am afraid. The fears that were present had exposed his faith, and now they are exposing his trust, putting his faith to the test. What will we do when we are faced with fear? So when it comes to those other fears that we talked about a moment ago, maybe it's the fear that your child won't come to know the Lord. Maybe it is a fear of health, of security. Maybe it's a fear of finances. Whatever fear that is, what are we going to do with it? The model that David gives for us is that we go to the Lord. We seek the Lord who is our salvation when we are afraid. We lay those fears at his feet and cry out to him. What was a proud proclamation or a glad proclamation in the first six verses now becomes a humble cry. And in that humble cry, we see David's relationship to God as a relationship of dependency. Completely dependent upon the Lord. Where else would he go? What else can he do? His fear drives him to seek the face of God. You remember that time when the disciples had left Jesus because they were scandalized by his teaching? And Jesus turned to Peter and said, "Are you going to leave me too?" What did Peter say? Peter said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. Where else would we go? Lord, you are the God of our salvation. When we are afraid, where else will we go?" This is what we do with our fears. We go to the Lord who is our salvation. Now, claiming that faith is one thing, right? Putting it into practice is another. And we see that in Peter's own life, right? He claims, where else we go? You have the words of eternal life. But then later on, he rebukes Jesus for his words. Jesus says, "I'm going to die." And he says, "No, you're not." The guy who just said, "You have the words of eternal life. You are the Holy One of God," tries to contradict him like he knows better. Can relate to that, right? We read God's word and it tells us one thing and then we live as if we know better. But it's our pride that keeps us from bringing our fears to God and from admitting humbly our need of him, living in this kind of dependency. We can often be so bold, I say bold with quotation marks here, with air quotes, we can often be so bold that we don't actually deal with fear. We try to brush it off. We say, "No, we don't need to be afraid." And in our attempt at portraying confidence, we just conceal our fears. So rather than tell it to our friends and ask our friends for prayer, we hide it. Why do we hide that struggle? Why do we hide that problem? Well, because we're afraid of what they'll think of our fears. We're afraid of what others will think. And so we don't voice our needs and our struggles. I mean, we can relate to that, right? I mean, if you can think of something about yourself, something that you struggle with, that would be very difficult to share with others. But it's not only that. Sometimes we struggle just with being honest with God, right? We have fears that we're dealing with, and we try to hide them even from God. How foolish can we be? God knows your heart. He knows your need. Be honest with the Lord. Humbly cry to the God of your salvation. Bring your fears to this God. This God says, "Seek my face." in your heart humbly with the psalmist, with David, ought to say, Lord, I seek your face. I believe it's in this situation here that David's greatest fear is revealed. What do I mean by that? Read verse 9. Verse 9, he turns and says, hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger, O you who have been my help. Cast me not off. Forsake me not, O God, my salvation. Now, what is David asking for here? He's asking that the Lord wouldn't leave him. His greatest fear is the opposite of his greatest desire. His greatest desire is to be with the Lord. His greatest fear is to be without the Lord. His greatest fear is that the Lord would abandon him. Now, you might say, well, that's not very confident, but it's honest. It's honest. It's honest because he's coming as a humble sinner. He's coming as one who rightly understands who God is and rightly understands that he is not worthy. He being David. David is not worthy to come before the throne. God has every right to turn his face away. God has every right to cast him off and leave him to deal with his enemies on his own. But David's confidence doesn't rest in his own goodness. David's confidence doesn't rest in his own acceptability. David's confidence rests in the God who is his salvation. So immediately after saying, don't turn from me, God. Don't leave me, God. He says in verse 10, my father, my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. Even as he's reflecting on this great fear that the Lord would leave him, he's acknowledging this relationship of intimacy that he has with the Lord, that he is the Lord's own. And those whom the Lord has claimed for himself, he cares for. And he will not leave or forsake his own. So David, despite his own pride and inability to come before the throne with any right or claim to God's presence, acknowledges in humility that God will hold up his promises. God will fulfill his promises. The God of his salvation will bring that salvation to completion. That is his hope. You know, we're commanded many times in Scripture to fear not, be not afraid, do not fear. You ever thought about where the ability to obey that comes from? Just to think for a moment, how is it that we can be not afraid? How is it that we are to not fear? How do we fulfill that? I believe that it is a proper fear of God. A proper fear of God. Understanding that we have no right to come before him. When we understand this God, when we understand the holiness of God, our fears are put into perspective. But so is our own state. Our own lives are put into perspective. And we see that it is only knowing this God as our Savior, knowing that the Lord is my salvation, that we can come before him. There are many things that we are commanded not to fear in Scripture, but we are also commanded to fear God. Matthew 10:28, we're told, do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Let's put that in some different words here for a moment. He says, you think that your enemies are a danger to you? You think those terrorists threaten your life? You think tyrants are a threat? You think the current political climate is bad? There is one who can destroy every other power. There is one who holds all of life in his hand. Fear him. It is this God before whom even the demons shudder in fear. It is this fear of God that drives all other fears away. When we realize there is nothing, there's nothing else that can compare to this God. There is no one that can compare to this God. But we know this God. We know this God as our light. We know this God as our salvation. And so we cry to him humbly, pleading his promises, pleading the blood of Christ in our fears, pleading the resurrection in the face of death, knowing that God is faithful to his promises. It's an intimate relationship. It's a dependent relationship. Knowing God not only brings our fears into the light, but it brings our sin into the light. But unless we know God is our salvation, we have no confidence. If we know God is our salvation, we confess our sins and we know that he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. We know that there is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, if indeed we are in Christ Jesus. And if we are in Christ Jesus, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who is our righteousness. He has taken our sin on himself in the cross that we might boldly go before the throne. He has risen for our justification so that one day we will stand with him. He has given his Spirit as a seal for the day of redemption, guaranteeing the future of our fate. This is our confidence. This is the God of our salvation. So we humbly cry to him when we're afraid. We humbly cry to him when we're afraid, and we look to him for guidance. Look in verses 11 and 12. David says, "Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Because my enemies threaten to knock me off that path. My enemies don't want to see me following you. My enemies want to pull me down and to pull me away from you. And the only way, Lord, that I could stay on this path that you've given me is by you, Lord, teaching me your way. Your word is a lamp unto my feet, a light to my path. God, you are my light. You are my source of life. I cannot continue and face these fears without you showing me the way." God's faithfulness guides us. David is pleading for God to keep him faithful. He's pleading on the count of God's faithfulness, despite his own lack, that God might keep him on this path, walking in wisdom. He desires to honor God and fears what his enemies will do and try to pull him away, but he trusts in God. He will not fear what his enemies can do because God is able to keep him. All along the way, he is resting in the God who is his salvation. Have you ever felt that pull? Whenever you desire to live obediently to God, automatically there's tension, right? Pulling in the other direction. No, you don't struggle with reading God's word until you actually try being consistent in reading God's word, right? I mean, even to take it outside of that, you don't struggle with eating right until you're trying to eat right, right? And the struggle is real. It takes time fighting against those tensions and that opposite that you need to build a habit there. Well, in the same way, when we're seeking to honor the Lord, we're going to face opposition. Following God does not bring comfort and peace in the way the world expects. Following God does not bring ease. The path that is smooth and wide is not the path of the Lord. The path that is smooth and wide is not the path that David is asking for here. And friends, we've not struggled enough with our opposition. We've not struggled enough. We've easily grown weary and faint-hearted. Hebrews 12 gives us clarity on that. He says, "Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood." And this is in the context of discipline as sons. The same writer of Hebrews tells us that Jesus himself learned obedience through suffering. It's in this struggle against opposition that we are learning more of God. And we learn more of God through his word. This is the God of our salvation who delivers us from our fears and leads us on a level path. David is crying out to the Lord, and he says, because the Lord is my light, my fears are brought into perspective. His presence is my delight. David says, because the Lord is my salvation, I look to God when I am afraid, and his wisdom is my God. And finally, David says, because the Lord is the stronghold of my life, I will not fear, but wait with confidence. He says, I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Now, if somebody here has the King James Version, the New American Standard, you might have noticed earlier during the scripture reading that something looks different. And if you have an ESV, you might notice there's a little footnote right here on verse 13. Not all of you have that, I'm sure, but you might. And if you have that footnote in the ESV, it says that some manuscripts say, oh, had I not believed. I point this out to you because as I was preparing for this and reading through, I noticed that myself. I was reading and there was a word there that didn't, it wasn't here in the ESV. I wondered why that was. And it's a difficult word to translate. It means unless or not. And then when you put that at the beginning, you get an incomplete sentence. It's kind of weird to have an incomplete sentence. But Martin Lloyd-Jones commenting on that very verse, you got the King James Version, it says, I had fainted if I had not believed. That's what it says. I had fainted. We sang in the song just a moment ago. My fainting soul would have died with grief had not my soul believed. Something like that. I don't remember the exact words. But here's what Martin Lloyd-Jones says about this verse. He says, the words, I had fainted, which are in the King James Version, are not in the original Hebrew. They've been supplied, and rightly so, by a translator. And the psalmist is writing under the stress of deep emotion. He remembers the terrible predicament that he was in, the forces that were against him, and his consciousness of his own weakness. So he just blurts out, unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord. Unless what? Unless I had believed what? Unless I had believed, I would have been completely undone. Unless I had believed, I would have been filled with despair. Unless I had believed, I would have fainted. The psalmist is contrasting the hopelessness of facing fear without God to the certainty of facing fear when you know him. And so he blurts it out. If I didn't believe this, what? I would have despaired. I would have had no hope. If Christ Jesus didn't raise from the dead, we are what? Of all people, most to be pitied. Because if Christ didn't raise from the dead, neither will we. We have no hope. But Christ did raise from the dead. We do have this hope. If it weren't for him, we'd have no hope. I was able this past week to visit George in the hospital, George Ducton. We mentioned this morning in the Bible study that he is home now. His family's been visiting for the past few weeks, and he had heart surgery earlier this week on Tuesday morning. He's home as of yesterday. Just amazing to think that Tuesday evening, his chest was open for several hours, and now he's at home resting. Wow, the Lord is good. And you know, something I witnessed in them, in their family, when visiting with them in the hospital, George wasn't afraid. He wasn't afraid of what was going to happen. He could have very well not survived that table. But he wasn't afraid. And why is that? Because he had confidence in a Lord who is the stronghold of his life. He said, you know, if this is it, it's the Lord's will. But if it's not, he's got me here for a reason. And then he told me about all the different people who he's able to share the gospel with in the hospital. Why? You know, even one of the nurses, when Anna was calling to check up on him, one of the nurses said, what kind of man do you have? What kind of man do you have here? He's not complaining. He's asking us to take it easy. He's the one that just had heart surgery, and he's thanking us and asking us to take it easy. And she said, that's nothing to do with me. That's evidence of a man who has come in encounter with the living God. And that is the fruits of his grace. She said it way better than I did. I don't remember exactly how she said it, but something like that, she said that. And it's true. That's what it is. How could you possibly be facing that without overwhelming anxiety unless you know this God? Unless you have this God as the stronghold of your life. George was not afraid of death because he serves one who has died and ever lives. He's not afraid of death because his Redeemer has conquered death by his own death on a cross. He's not afraid of death because this same Lord defeated the grave and ascended to the throne and is one day coming back for his own. The question for us today is, do we have this hope? Do we know this Lord? Do you know the Lord as your light? Do you know the Lord as your salvation? Do you know the Lord as the stronghold of your life? If you do, you can have confidence in the face of fear. Knowing this God brings confidence in the face of fear. But if you do not know this God, I plead with you. You have no hope outside of him. Look to this God. Humbly cry to this God. This God delights in saving sinners. He delights in bringing poor, hopeless people to this living hope that is in Christ Jesus. Turn from sin and look to him. David ends by saying, wait for the Lord. It's a call for everybody listening. It's a call for everyone who's heard his story. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. If you know the Lord as your light, as your salvation and the stronghold of your life, he will sustain you through whatever. There is nothing that can separate you from him. Here in this psalm, we find a powerful model of how we are to face fear, knowing God as our light, as our salvation, and as the stronghold of our life. And so we, like David, if we know this God, we, like David, and like Paul tells later in Romans 8:31, we can have great hope and confidence. Why? Paul says in Romans 8, 31-39, what shall we say then to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, he was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure of this, that neither life nor death, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Because the Lord is our light, our fears are brought in perspective, and his presence is our delight. Because the Lord is our salvation, we can look to him when we are afraid, and his wisdom is our guide. Because the Lord is the stronghold of our life, we need not fear. We can have confidence. And his goodness is our refuge. So friends, if you do not know this God, I plead with you today to turn to him. And as we'll sing in a moment from now, put your hope in God alone. Take courage in his power to save. Completely and forever won by Christ emerging from the grave. Knowing this God brings confidence.